We want to read a few verses of Scripture, starting in the book of Romans, in the 5th chapter. My thought today is on not losing faith and hope in the Lord. Starting in the 5th chapter of Romans in the 1st verse, it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Aren't you glad that when He saves you, that you have that great peace with God?
Amen.
You know, I think, and I often go back to, is having peace with God is one of the, I think, best describer words of being saved, is just having that peace with God. Being justified by faith. And that we have that access by that faith into His grace. And to this grace wherein we're able to stand. As in rejoice in hope of the glory of God. He says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." I just really love these verses. How we're able to rejoice in the hope of what God has given us in His glory. Hey, think about that for a minute. The world is full of evil. The world is full of things that are distractions. You look at the news and you'll see you can become depressed quite quickly. But aren't you glad that we have a hope in something that is beyond this world? It's beyond the news. It's beyond anything that this world could take from us. It's peace with God. And we have a great hope that we're able to rejoice in Jesus Christ. And it says, and not only so, there's more to this, right? It says we're able to glory or rejoice in our afflictions. And that's a hard one, isn't it? Oftentimes we get into afflictions in our lives and it's easy to just linger on what we're being afflicted with. And if we go around the room and I asked everybody, what are you being afflicted with? And we'd probably have different answers with that. You know, we're afflicted by physical things, by things, the mental things. We're afflicted by family, by friends, by jobs, by pressures, by stress. But we're able to rejoice in them. So think about that. We all have them, and you know they're not going away. And so we need to take this to heart, that we're able to have this faith, that we have this peace with God and this hope in the glory of God, and we're able to rejoice in our own tribulations. If you're not able to do so, I hope and pray that you could think about that and get with the Lord on it. But this glorying and rejoicing in tribulation, it leads to patience. And I know people say, be careful what you ask for when you ask for patience, right? And that tribulation brings forth patience. But we all have tribulation in our life. We all have afflictions. And the result in that, as we go through with the Lord, is that He gives us patience. And what is that patience? That patience means cheerful endurance. Keyword cheerful. Not a begrudging being patient, but a cheerful endurance. And so these tribulations that we go and walk through with the Lord, and we're close to Him, brings about this cheerful endurance or patience with Him, right, in this life. And this cheerful endurance that Scripture speaks of brings forth experience. And this experience that is spoken of is a good experience, right? How are we supposed to know the goodness of God if we don't experience tribulation and trials in life, right? We're able to feel His presence and gain experience in life. And how beautiful that is. You know, experiencing God is very important. If you say you've been saved by God's grace and you've never experienced God in your life and working and walking with Him, you're probably not doing too well. When He saves you, He has a relationship with you. And you have that experience with Him, and you're able to walk in life with Him. And it builds all these things on top of each other with experience. And this experience brings on a lively hope. There's a confidence in this hope. And it says, this hope maketh not ashamed. Or in other words, it's not dishonored. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Listen, I'm thankful today that when you're saved by God's grace, you know Him. You have that walk with Him. You have someone who is your advocate throughout all of life. And I feel like I needed to start there to focus on Him. Because the whole reason I hope that you're here today is because of Jesus. The whole reason that we're able to take another breath is because of the Lord. The whole reason why we're able to put one foot in front of the next is because of the goodness of God. And Him being with you every day. Now, not losing faith and hope in the Lord, I would be remiss if I say, you know, I live my life every day like these first five verses that we just read. But unfortunately, that's just really not how it is. I think Brother Dyer mentioned, you know, we never reach that perfection stage in our life. We're always being sanctified. Continue to be sanctified through our life, being closer to the Lord. And, you know, this is just how it is. There's times in life and seasons in life where you're a little lower than other times. There's times when you feel like you're on the mountain. But, you know, if you haven't been on the mountain in a while, being in the valley for too long could be detrimental to a Christian's life. And so, with that thought in mind, I want to go to 1 Kings and read a little bit about a story here in the 19th chapter in 1 Kings. First Kings in the 19th chapter. I'll start reading in the 9th verse. Then he came thither into a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth, and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after a fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out, and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him, and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, Because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to the king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Mehol, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath kissed, which have not kissed him. And I want to stop there. A lot of reading here, but I want to kind of give a little bit of the background of where Elijah was at. At this point, Elijah was in a really low state, as you could tell. Elijah was a great prophet, wasn't he? He was a great man of God, and saw and was able to perform many great things in his time. Just before this, we see that he met with the prophets of Baal. And think about that story in the earlier chapter, as in the 18th chapter, as he stood there and in front of the prophets of Baal, and he challenged them by setting up an altar and doing all these things, and the Lord showed up in a mighty way and showed that he was God. And so it says that God answered by fire and let him be God. And we know that story, that God consumed the altar, he consumed everything that Elijah set up, and the Lord prevailed. And so here Elijah was, and Jezebel, the queen, she was furious at him, and she wanted to take his life. And we see the beginning of the 19th chapter that she was furious of how all the prophets were slain with the sword. And so Elijah was in a spot, you know, he just saw a mighty work of God. He was confident in him. And then almost just like that, it was like he was in the lowest valley. And you think, boy, I don't even go through that much in my life to see that kind of amazing things. And here I am in my own life in a pretty big valley. It happens, as we read with Peter, as he was walking close with the Lord. And then the next minute, you see him doubting. And so we see this with those that are close with God. You know, it isn't just unique to you or me. But thank God that we have an advocate that when we could go through these things of life, that he's right there with us, able to lead us through these difficult times in life. So here we see Elijah, and that he was so low in the fourth verse of the 19th chapter, he really, he just wanted to die. That's how low Elijah got. And so, again, painting this picture here as he was there in the cave, and the Lord is speaking to him, and he wasn't in the mighty big things that we just read, but God came to him in that still small voice. And so it was. He essentially was telling the Lord that, you know, I'm just the only one left. I'm the only one. And you know, how many times have we felt like that in our life? That you feel like, you know, you're the only one around. The Lord speaks in that still small voice to Elijah. And what did he give him? Well, the Lord showed up in that still small voice and he gave him direction. Clear direction. There's wonderful times as I look back in my life where I've been very low. And I've asked the Lord, Lord, I need you. I need you to feel your presence. I need you in my life. And the Lord shows up, and in this beautiful, just like this, that still small voice. And He comes to you, and He gives you direction. And I'm thankful that He does that even still today. And He gave him specific direction, didn't He? He told him who to anoint. He told him who's going to be the prophet in his stead. And he goes on, and in the 18th verse, as we read, he says, but not only this. He says, but there are still 7,000 that have not bowed to Baal. You see, sometimes our point of view is not very big. We have to trust that the Lord, that His view of things is much better, it's much greater, and has a greater end for you and I than we can imagine in our finite little minds. You know, sometimes we get trapped by only the things we see, we hear, that are in our own little bubble. But can we just take a moment and learn from Elijah and see how the Lord works, that He sees the beginning from the end? And it is up to us at times to really ask the Lord, say, Lord, increase my faith in You. I am in a lowly state, and I need You. I need the direction in my life. And He's able to show up and give you just that. If He saved your soul, which was a miracle, and I think you would agree to that, about the greatest miracle to you in your life is when He saved you, then isn't He great and big enough to be able to meet you where you're at, in that cave, if that's where you're located? Sometimes we need to get into a cave. I don't mean physically. To be able to get in the shape to where we're going to listen to God. Sometimes the Lord will help you, put you in situations in your life from a physical standpoint to get you in the proper mind and the proper spiritual attitude and ready to receive what He's wanting to give to you. Elijah was at a low point. Did he have to get to that low point to hear God? No, he didn't. And the same with you and I. We don't have to either. But sometimes we find ourselves and we put ourselves in those situations where, I'm just going to go to this cave. And you know, what purpose of my life is it? Nobody loves me. My family has forsaken me. My friends have gone out of the way. I'm just the only one left. Nobody. It won't matter if I just die today. Unfortunately, this happens. And unfortunately, even those that have said they have been saved by God's grace get to such a point in their life where they have no hope. And it could be due to many different afflictions that are going on. Lose faith in the Lord that saved them. In the Lord in whom the writer in Romans that we read says that we are to rejoice in the faith which He has given us, in the hope in the Lord in which we have. Have we gone so far out of the way that we have lost that joy of Thy salvation? That we have lost that most important thing that Jesus has done for you? That He wants to be there with you in your life, in all aspects of it, through your afflictions, through the tribulations that you do go through, both physical, you know, the physical things. I work in a hospital. I see many physical things that happen with people, and it's so sad. And it's hard sometimes to look past the physical ailments that we have to suffer through. But again, the most beautiful things I have seen in the hospital are seeing those who are in great affliction in the flesh. But yet you visit them and you're with them in the hospital and you wouldn't know they're afflicted because of how much they're pointing it to the Lord and Savior. And the joy in which they have down in their soul, which no physical ailment could take. And I mentioned about physical ailments because we all have physical ailments. And I'm realizing as I'm getting older that they're becoming more frequent. And I've seen some that let that cripple them. It may cripple you physically. But I hope and pray that it doesn't cripple you spiritually. Because there's nothing that could take that from you if you let it. If you don't let it. And so these things, I see things physically, but are also have a spiritual implication. And the same here with Elijah. You know, he was in a low state. He was so low that he just would rather take his life. The Lord showed up, told him, you know, this is not the end of the story. Elijah had a very important role to play in his life. And you know, sometimes we have such a narrow vision. You know, the Lord has given you, and I've heard, and you've probably heard this too, but I love it because it's so truthful that if the only purpose that God has given you, well, only one for you, is to save you, and that was it, then what he would have done is saved you and then took your life. Okay? Your life is just as precious to the Lord as Elijah's. Do you realize that? You see, the blood of Jesus Christ, he gave his life and he gave his blood and he shed it for Elijah. But he also shed it for you. So you see, that's why your life is just as important and every bit as important as Elijah. You might think, well, I'm not a prophet and you know, I don't do anything special. That's not the point. The point is that the Lord died and gave his life for you. And if he didn't have some things important for you to do in your life, that your faith and hope needs to be strong in him so that you could walk with him daily. Because your life is very important to the Lord. Your walk with him is very important, just as it was with Elijah and everyone else that has walked, that he has saved. The difference, I think, oftentimes is where we walk in with the Lord. Where your faith, you know, have you lost your hope? It's easy to look around nowadays and see and lose hope. We have all these pews. It's easy to lose hope. It's easy to lose faith. But you can't forget the God that we serve, the God in which has saved your soul, is able to fill all of these if he wanted to. Do you believe that? He most certainly can. We in Sunday school, I'll just keep bringing all this in. We read about the Lord, how he had power over the sea to calm the storm by just speaking it. All these things we think are fairy tales almost. You know, we live in a world and society of science fiction, sci-fi movies, and how movies can make all these amazing things happen. I often wonder, you know, I see my children are being, you know, seeing these things that from a visually, they see these things on TV that is amazing. And then they go back and watch older movies that don't have the wonderful movie effects that today's movie, and it's like, really? They don't think it's much to look at. I think sometimes we're kind of numbed by that too. The power of God is powerful just as much today as it was back then. Just as it was when he showed and met with Elijah in that cave with that still small voice saying that there's still great mighty work for you to do. Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Because I am with you. I am with you always. Amen. And you have a great purpose. We ask why a lot. And what is the point? What is the danger? There is danger by the way. I'm not going to sugarcoat some things here. I believe there is a danger when we lose faith and hope in the Lord. And we need to be aware of it. And I think Jeremiah gives us a little insight to this. I want to read a few verses in Jeremiah in the 17th chapter. And what the Lord views those who take their eyes off Him. 17th chapter of Jeremiah in the 5th verse. Thus saith the Lord. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert. That word heath means poor and desolate. And shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. There's a danger of one who is turning their back on the Lord, who loses their faith and just decides to put their trust in man. You know, that's really what happens. When you lose sight of the Lord and take your eyes off Him, when your hope in the Lord diminishes to a point, at whatever point that may be, what has happening is we're trusting in man. We're really, whether it be yourself, to make out your plan of your own life, or whether it be you're trusting in other things and devices of mankind. It's a dangerous place to be who departs from the Lord. This doesn't mean lose your salvation. That's not what this means. And it'll be like you're in the desert. And I hope when we read this, he's like, I've been there. Maybe you're there currently, where you feel like you're in a desert, a destitute place, where you can't see the good that comes, right? You'll inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. This is a very lonely place to be. But blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Blessed. Happy. Happy is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. And it says it like this, as a describing. It says, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters. Imagine this in your mind. Picture this most beautiful place by a river. It shall be a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Isn't that a beautiful description? I love that description. You can picture this tree that is planted by the water, and the roots are extended and tapping into that ever-flowing water that doesn't stop. It doesn't have to worry about the drought that's going on all around, but is getting its nutrients directly from a source. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Isn't that glorious? Can you imagine yourself as that tree? Where it doesn't matter what comes about in your life, your roots are going to be strong because it's completely tied into the source of that running water. Those trees, you could go out into rivers, into the streams, and you could see the most lush vegetation are those by the source, isn't it? Being able to have a farmland where a river runs through it is a blessing. And think about spiritually. I love how the Lord's able to do this for us. Gives us visuals. Think about spiritually. When we take our hope and trust from the Lord, and we put it in ourselves and mankind, we oftentimes find ourselves in a desert, a desolate place. Almost you feel cursed. But on the flip side, when your hope is very strong in the Lord, where it doesn't matter what comes about, you feel like impenetrable. And it's like you're by that river. And it's like, bring it on. Bring it on, world. Whatever may come, I'm set. My roots are in you, and my confidence is in you, my trust is in you. May the storms of life come. You know, it may be difficult, but I know that I'm going to be standing on that solid rock with you, Lord. The author and finisher of my faith. The psalmist says it this way, the 31st Psalm and the 24th verse. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Do you need strengthened today? Are you waiting for external things of man to make you happy? Mankind? Are you waiting for situations in life to turn around before you could get that joy back? Or do you feel like you're right there planted by that river and your hope in the Lord is strong despite what you might physically see and experience? Are you trusting in the Lord with your life? It's hard to do. It's hard to trust in the Lord with your life. You did it when you got saved. But are you able to truly trust in the Lord with your life? To be able to walk daily with Him. Say, you know, Lord, I'm not going to rely on circumstances of life, as Elijah did, to bring me down. Walking hand in hand with the Lord. Being of good courage, right? He promised He would never leave us nor forsake us. Isn't that a great promise? Isn't it great to be able to lay your head down on your pillow each night and not worry what the next day holds? We have worries, but I mean, we don't have to worry. We really don't have to worry even about those worries, really. But isn't it glorious that we don't have to fear? Be of good courage and He'll strengthen your heart. Those that'll hope in the Lord. The difficult part about this, and I acknowledge this, is that if I ask a show of hands, if those here trust and hope in the Lord, I think probably everybody would raise their hand. Right? But in application, in your life personally, is where the challenge comes. Because we all face different things in our lives. It's not shameful at all to ask the Lord to strengthen my faith, to strengthen your faith. There is no shame in that. Matter of fact, acknowledging that you have a lack of it is a good thing. The disciples asked, Lord, increase my faith. Because when you truly are trusting in the Lord with all of your life, it is glorious. It truly is. It's something that the world can't experience. you see. You see, the world, those who don't know the Lord, they can't experience this kind of joy. They can't experience this kind of picture that the Lord says being planted by the river and not worrying about the drought that's all around. They can't even think about how you and I, as God's people, get to experience. I pray the Lord will strengthen you in your walk with Him. You have a very important work to do and a very important relationship with the Lord that He wants you to have with Him. And the closer you are in that relationship, the more glorious it is. And it's so wonderful to see. You know, when we're far from the Lord, we know it. The Lord doesn't keep that from us. He doesn't say, well, I'm not going to let you know when you're far from me. And that's not how the Lord works. He chastises those He loves. He's with us. And really, it takes us getting to a point where we want Him more than anything else. It's more than being able to raise your hand and say, I have faith and hope in the Lord. It's being honest with ourselves and going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want to be closer. My faith is waning. I'm looking at too many of the things of man and letting that determine my fate. They don't have any determination in your fate. You know that? It's all in the Lord's hands. And there's so much comfort in that. That's my message for the day. And I hope and pray that the Lord would bless you and help you see things maybe you haven't seen before. I'm learning more and more about myself every week, every month. And the relationship that I have with the Lord, it grows as time goes on. And there's periods of times where it's a little stunted, where I, because of my own stubbornness and things, I am not where I need to be. But when you're on that trajectory of getting close and really having that walk with Him, it's glorious. You mean a lot to Him. And you know, my prayer is just that we could all grow strong. You know, churches, I believe churches grow. The Lord can make anything happen. And I completely trust that. But He wants all of us to have that close walk with Him. And you know, when I'm walking close with the Lord, it shows and radiates to those around me. When you are walking close with the Lord and have that hope and faith in Him, all of those around you know it without you having to tell them. Because walking with the Lord, there's no greater blessing than that. And the church will be blessed when you're walking close with Him. Your family will be blessed. It's just, there's so much more that you could just go off into. But I pray that the Lord would continue to bless you. And, you know, we need each other in this, right? And that's part of the privilege and honor to be able to meet like in this fashion, you know, bearing one another's burdens. There's a reason for that. Being able to encourage each other. That's what He gives us each other for. So. Maybe you have something on your heart.